It's time for Focus on the Community, a weekly program in which we address and discuss issues affecting the communities within the WAKO listening area.
Well, it's a pleasure to welcome back to Focus on the Community 109th District State Representative Darren Bailey. He's been on once before. We haven't had a chance to talk with him since, but welcome back to the program.
Yes, sir. It's a pleasure and an honor to be here and to serve as a state representative here in the 109th District. Thank you.
So what's been up with you these days?
Well, kind of the same. Campaigning now for the Senate position for the 55th district now that Dale's not going to be running. So I've been spending quite a bit of time in the 110th district to the north, building relationships, getting to know people, as well as just doing the representative work here of collecting ideas, working. We've got a lot of DCFS issues in this part of the world, and working with some different organizations, trying to dream and think about what we can do to bring economy to our area. And unfortunately, there's a lot of competition out there for that. And unfortunately, with that being said, with state of Illinois being so unfriendly to business, there's not a lot of reason for people to come here. So anyway, we're looking at what can be done to address that, what can be done to change that, any temporary Band-Aids, fixes. So staying very busy, fighting, for a better life here in Southeast Illinois, and especially right here in Lawrence County, being bordering Indiana and such.
You mentioned economic development. What's being looked at in those areas for this area?
Well, there's this thing. It's called data centers. And they build these large buildings, and they'll employ 400 plus people, and they collect data all over a lot of the streaming information, kind of like as we look here in your studio with all the CDs and all the records and stuff. Well, all this information on the internet's being collected, so they build these data centers, and they're building them around the state right now. And there's potentially one for Southern Illinois that's going to be built. It looks like it's probably going to be over in Washington County, but you're thinking outside of the box, kind of like we were talking before, how life has changed for you as a DJ, and now we're building these humongous buildings to serve as a collecting and storing data. So working, still continuing to try to make strides with Chicago representatives to protect our oil and coal industry. That's a chore. That's a fight, just trying to convince other legislators of the value of what we have here in Southern Illinois, and that this is our economy. So if we hurt that, and if we threaten that, which it's being threatened, then we have to look for other sources of revenue and try to get other business to come here. But like I said, when we sit here and we understand that just 10 minutes across the river, a business can open up house and pay 2.5 times less for workman's comp alone, let alone with the minimum wage situation now. Unfortunately, it makes it pretty obvious what business is doing. So trying to combat, trying to change, trying to alter some of these laws that are affecting us adversely.
Yeah, it's really tough. You not only have to try to woo people here, but you also have to give them incentive to stay here. Because if another state offers a better business situation, it's all bottom line.
So it's exactly right. So, and I've made several trips for various reasons to Chicago in the last 3 weeks. And I'm going to tell you something. Here's what I'm banking on, and here's what I've thought this, but I didn't think that it happened so soon. Chicago's financial situation is actually more dire than the state of Illinois. And right now they're having this teacher strike. And the teachers, they make on average of, a third to 50% more of what teachers across the state of Illinois do. And they're wanting a 15% pay increase over the next 3 years. Chicago actually offered them a 16% pay increase, but they're wanting more insurance, several other items that's making it difficult to bargain on. So that this is going to be a catalyst for something big to happen in Chicago, because along with that, obviously the pension problem is the state's number one problem. When I started campaigning for this office 2 years ago, we were looking at $125 billion with a B pension debt. Today it sets it over, you know, pushing 210 now. So that problem continues. That problem's not being addressed. So working with the people in Chicago, talking, listening, hearing them, you're starting to hear people in Chicago talking about moving out of the state and doing something different. See, that's something when we're in Springfield and we're talking with the Chicago legislators, they tell us there's no problem. Chicago's thriving. Life in Chicago is awesome. And we're starting to hear the opposite of that from Chicago. So our message to them is the message to the state. If your legislator isn't representing you and he's making life harder for you, vote him out and you know, get active, get informed. And life in Chicago, as we know it, is very busy. And people are just going to have to slow down a little bit and start doing their homework on the political home front.
There had been a movement recently to try to sever Chicago away from Illinois. That would not be a good idea, would it?
Well, on the surface, it appears that it would be because of the values and everything. But I don't see the end road of you know how that's going to happen, because here's the deal. You've got obviously, if that was allowed to happen, then you've got different states, different, you know, New Jersey, New York, California, even in Texas, the state of Washington. There's a lot of movements, and I think the movement has served its purpose in that it's gotten Chicago's attention, because actually, again, to the story that I just told, at first, Chicago looked at this and said, well, you guys, that's a foolish idea. Well, then now they are realizing that there was a study that came out from the Paul Simon Institute that said, well, for every dollar that we pay here in Southern Illinois, we actually get $2.30 back. There's recently been a rebuttal put out to that with some more facts, because they left out transportation issues in that study. When you put the transportation issues in with the bus system, the mass transit, and the Amtrak train situation, and you know, because there's more people, there's more roads, with the IDOT money they get, it equals it up quite a bit. So people in the powers that be in Chicago began to realize that and begin to back off and begin to change their messaging to state that, no, we separation would not be good. But it would be a big, it would be a big bad situation, because, I mean, just think, you know, University of Illinois, state, think of all the investments, hospitals that have entities throughout the state. I don't see it possibly ever happening. However, I believe the conversation is good, because upon the potential financial demise of Chicago and or the state of Illinois, that's where, you know, this conservative base has got to say, it's got to be talking about the problems right now and thinking about what life could look like if we get to this point to where we falter, much like a Detroit did several years ago. Then we have our talking points and the reason to say, hey, we demand, deserve a seat at the table to put everything back together.
You mentioned infrastructure a minute ago and economic development. Governor Pritzker this week came out with his Illinois policy with regard to infrastructure, going to invest multiple billions of dollars in roadways and bridges. It's got to be good for the state. You got to have your infrastructure in good shape, don't you?
You got to have the infrastructure in good shape. That's exactly right. But at what cost do we continue doing business in the state of Illinois? And right now as we speak, he is touting another massive tax increase to basically take care of the shortfalls of the budget. And I'm just afraid, at what point in time do we say enough's enough, and do we start addressing? You know, one thing I found in Springfield, there are so many layers of government. Let's take the DCFS situation. DCFS, right now as we speak, well, there are, well, let's back up. In February, there were 300 positions to be filled in DCFS. Most of those are caseworkers. Anybody out there knows that we're struggling, having problems with, you know, the DCFS situation. That's just with DCFS. You know, let's talk about state police. Why are the state police so far back? Why is there a problem with FOID cards? Because there's vacancies that need to be filled that can't be filled. So we asked Director Smith, why? What's the problem here? Why aren't these vacancies being filled? And he gave two very specific answers. This was about a month ago when I attended a a committee hearing in Chicago. He said, number one, government red tape, all the hoops we've got to jump through to hire someone. And then number two, the union regulations. Those are holding us hostage. So as of a month ago, three positions out of 300 that were available in February had been fixed. Said there's nothing we can do. We are working with what we have. So when you began to peel back the layers, you've got the director of DCFS, and then I mean every aspect that DCFS, every aspect, whether it's foster care, whether it's adopting, has a director, and they have a deputy director under them. It goes on and on and on. So when you discover, when you have a problem, and you try to get, you know, right now, a lot of our daycare centers in the area, they were told, right, with an unfunded mandate, they were told, now you have to have a certified teacher for each one of your daycare classes. I mean, we can't even find enough teachers to staff or, you know, to fill our classes in our schools. So these daycare centers, they had until October 1st to find these people to staff, and they can't. So now they're closing down classes compared to with the people that they have. I mean, you know, the state even altered the requirement for a sub teacher to an associate degree from a bachelor's, but yet they said you have to have a bachelor's. And it doesn't necessarily matter what. It doesn't have to be in child care, but you have to be a certified teacher now to work in some of these daycare centers. So we've got daycare centers literally closing now because of these regulations. So when you go and you try to find amongst this massive government infrastructure of people, it is very difficult to find, to get that layer peeled, to find that person, because they keep, you know, anybody here that's had an IRS situation or a Illinois Department of Revenue tax situation, you call up there, you're on the phone all day, you know, waiting for people. And it's and I've got special liaisons as a representative to reach. So government, the swamp, government is so big. When I talk about these cutbacks, and unfortunately it's probably going to result in, you know, potential layoffs or loss of jobs, but I'm contending that a lot of people in government in Springfield, you know, they're not doing their job because of poor leadership. I'm not saying they're lazy, but poor leadership, the understanding of what their responsibilities are. It's a big problem. So when we talk about cutting taxes or reprioritizing, that's where I'm getting at. As I start to see how government works, I'm very frustrated and alarmed at the size of government. And with the size of government and the people we have in place, we really shouldn't have any problems, because if everybody was, there's so many people out there doing so many jobs, if they were doing them, we wouldn't be having these issues that we're having. So I contend, and I'm looking, trying to dig and find, where can we consult, what do we need to do to pull some of this back, because we are in a black hole financially, and we just keep getting deeper and deeper without addressing the problem. But yet the answer is more and more and more tax. So to your point, all this road work that's being done right now, that has nothing to do with the infrastructure. That comes next year after the taxes are collected. So yes, you're right. Government costs money. We want to drive on nice roads. We have to have bridges. We have to have buildings repaired from time to time. But the accountability situation there, like you and I conducting our business, you know, working on our houses, working on our cars, the accountability is not there in government. They just recklessly do things, and money gets spent, and there's no accountability.
Talk about agriculture here for a bit. I know agriculture is close to your heart, being from your farming background. What's the status of what you think of agriculture in Illinois?
Well, statewide, status of agriculture is things are pretty tight this year, because a lot of farmers, because of the late rains, you know, crops were, the yields haven't been there this year. The prices are low. I think many farmers, I feel like, believe in the tariff situation. I think, you know, with just a business mind, that I don't know that there's a lot of there's worry, there's fear, there's going to be farmers and farms that are, you know, facing you know, some dire situations coming up. We're starting to see China just yesterday purchased a massive amount of soybeans. So we'll see how that works out. Statewide, the biggest concern that we have is environmental concerns. You know, whether or not it's the application or storage of animal manure, whether or not it's you know, with water runoff, even dust, the dust in the spring when the tractors are in the field. I mean, that was talked about at one point in time. So energy and environmental concerns, the whole DEF, that, you know, the pollution situation with it, the diesel engines emit, that's probably statewide the biggest thing we have to kind of watch and be concerned about, is the regulations that they might put on current farming practices. And so I serve on the Energy and Environmental Committee, and this past spring most of that has been dealing with a lot of oil and coal concerns here and further down south in the state. So,
and the deal that the state worked with Taiwan, that really helped immensely, did it not?
It did help. Yeah, there was a bump. Anytime you can sell crops, that's pretty awesome. So yes, that was exciting to see. I was able to a few days later, I just happened to be in Chicago again, and I was able to meet the general consul from Taiwan in Chicago that had a lot to do with that. So yes, that was very positive to see.
So what else is on your mind as you continue on throughout this area?
Well, as I continue on throughout this area, I love still continue. I want to be very accessible. I want to hear ideas from if you have an idea, if you have a concern, please let me know. Never assume that your legislator, you know, I don't have the answers. I believe the answers lie collectively with us talking about the problems and then coming up with solutions. So then, you know, then I carry the idea either through a bill or through a conversation in committee or a kind of conversation one-on-one with another legislator. And when then we begin to build from that the solutions that's going to hopefully restore this great state. So yeah, I love attending events. If you're a club, Rotary, Ruatan, Kiwanis, Lions, school events, I will be there. And please come up, introduce yourself, talk to me, and tell me your thoughts, your ideas, your concerns. And
if anybody here in Lawrence County wants to contact your offices, how would they do that?
Thank you very much. My office is located in Louisville. The phone number there is 618-665-4109. You can email me at darren@baileyforillinois.com, D-A-R-R-E-N, Bailey, F-O-R, Illinois.com. Or my L.A. carries a phone that I also have access to, 618-919-1617. You can also, I have a very, very active Facebook page, Darren Bailey. Right now it's called for State Senate. But tie into that, like that page, stay up on my news and the information that I'm putting out each day. And you can also message me through that. A lot of people will message me and email me, and then I'm able, sometimes we can respond a little quicker. But please reach out, call, make an appointment, let me know where you're at to come and talk about an issue, and I'll be there.
Well, listen, thanks for being with us and talking about some things that are on your mind, and we wish you much success in the upcoming campaign. I'm sure that's been interesting. Anyway, thanks for stopping by, being on the program, and we welcome you back again in the future.
Well, thank you so much for the opportunity, and I appreciate it.
You have been listening to Focus on the Community, a weekly program in which we address and discuss issues affecting the communities within the WAKO listening area. If you or your organization have issues and information affecting your community and would like to be a guest on Focus on the Community, contact us by email, wako@dlcmediainc.com, phone 618-943-3354, fax 618-943-4171, or regular mail, WAKO Community Issues, 13799 U.S. Highway Business 50, Lawrenceville, Illinois, 62439.